Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
There it is. That's the sound of the start of another edition of FST. I'm Mike Blue, along with Dave Martinez. We're on our 50-minute sprint to get you started each and every morning. Do it here every weekday on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for joining us. Whether you listen on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, TuneIn Radio, iHeart, or a variety of terrestrial radio stations across the country, thank you very much. And we're excited, Dane. Only 2 days away. We're getting it going. I was still drafting right up until Sunday night. I'm done. I heard Scott, happy birthday to Scott Engel. I heard he still had some stuff going. So clearly people still are drafting. I know experts' drafts are running all the way through the weekend. People are happy to suck up the one game on Thursday night and add that into your stats. But really, you can keep these drafts going until Saturday night. So it's always a little bit of a balancing act. And first of all, I feel like this is the day that we get to say happy football season. So happy football season to you as week one is underway.
Yeah, absolutely. To me, happy football season to you as well. It's like Santa came down the chimney. Like, this is our normal week. You know, this is a normal week to us, right? We're already going to start today talking about waivers. We're already going to start talking about injuries. We're already starting to talk about spotlight games that we like with the point spread. We are making a DFS lineup. You know, this is Tuesday of a week of the football season, the same way Tuesday after Columbus Day is a Tuesday of the football season. So, yes, I am as excited as Tim Tebow at a press conference.
Yeah, so we're gonna cover every angle that you need to have covered as a football fan this year. Might be a slight change from what we talked about in years past, but I think we always tried to do a pretty good job of talking about lines and talking about DFS, and we'll continue to do that. I'm just letting you know, we'll cover every angle for you football fans out there. If you throw a little bit of money down on a game on the weekend, we'll be here to talk about it. If you're playing DraftKings, FanDuel, or any other site, we'll be happy to talk about it. And Survivor Pools, I think we'll cover that on Thursday morning so we get a really tight look at who's in and who's out for the week. And we'll start doing those picks on Thursdays as well. So just to give you like an introduction of what we plan on doing, we'll have a little bit more regular schedule of what exactly we're talking about. But today, I feel like we need to cover a few big pieces of news, and that's clear.
A lot of news.
Some starters are being named, right? We had some strange cuts over the weekend. I was away for part of the weekend, and I worked Sunday, and I was really wrapped up in drafts. I took a long look at the cuts in some regard, but the one guy whose name I missed is Carl Nassib from the Browns. I know normally you're like, it's a fantasy show. Why are you talking about the defensive end? It's just another example of the Browns getting out on guys that they drafted very highly in the last couple of years. He's a second-round pick 2 years ago, and he had 5.5 sacks in a couple of years. But I just wonder if his – and we saw him a lot. He's featured in Hard Knocks a lot. I just wonder if his personality is a little too creative for a guy like Greg Williams.
That's interesting. I'm going to say no, because if you remember, Myles Garrett is also on that team, and they've explored also on Hard Knocks, Mike. They've explored Myles Garrett and his interests, be it musically or spiritually as well. I thought it was because the Browns were a little bit worried about the SEC on their tail already with the Michael Kendricks news, and you saw how Carl Nassib was giving all that financial advice. That's what I was worried about.
Pretty funny. Entirely possible. Nothing is out of the realm of possibility when it comes to talking about the Cleveland Browns. So I thought that was a funny piece of news to start, but really where we got to focus, obviously, is on a few starters at quarterback being named over the last couple of days. First of all, we'll start with the Jets. I just heard Dan Stafford's update. He's the youngest starter in week one in NFL history. 21 years, 97 days old. So the Jets named Sam Darnold at quarterback. We've talked about him on some level as a fantasy asset in two QB leagues. But now this obviously solidifies his value in some way where we know he's starting from week one. There's obviously the door is wide open for him to start 16 games, which it wasn't a month ago. So your thoughts first of where they made the right decision and what do you think about him going forward?
Yeah, I do think they made the right decision. They have Josh McCown there to be their kind of mentor for him. I think you knew that this was the way it was going as soon as you saw the Jets make the deal with the Saints and move Teddy Bridgewater over, effectively paying $500,000 for a third-round pick is what they did. So all parties look out great in that scenario, from the Saints to Teddy himself and the New York Jets. But I look at the schedule here. I look at the schedule for the Jets, and here's the thing. On the road, Monday night football in a team's home opener is rough. I don't think the Lions are a great defense, but there is big play Slay out there looming to potentially pick him off. Then Miami, I'm not worried about that. On the road for Cleveland, again in a primetime game on Thursday night football. So I think he's in two tough spots on the road on primetime games, and then week four at Jacksonville. So no great shakes for Sam Darnold, but I do think it was the right decision. I do think he is going to be a viable quarterback in two quarterback leagues. We've seen the poise in the pocket. And the one last thing that I'm intrigued by, Mike, I want to get your thoughts on this. Would you think that Sam Darnold has more, less, or the same rushing potential from fantasy as like the average quarterback? Because I saw him with some escapability in the pocket in those preseason outings. I'd be intrigued to see if he's a guy who winds up with, you know, 250 rushing yards as well.
It seems high when you're first saying that number, because that's like
that's 20 a game.
Talking about 20, yeah, basically 20, not even. Yeah, so,
that's two scrambles.
Yeah, so I get what you're saying, that he's maybe fleet of foot. Like Aaron Rodgers isn't somebody that we consider to be a running quarterback
right
by any means, but he's nifty in the pocket. Nobody, frankly, is as good at moving around in the pocket as anybody I've ever seen as Aaron Rodgers, eliminating running-based quarterbacks like Mike Vick and others. But
sure.
I guess he could add a little bit of value there. Here's what I'd say about Darnold. He is the guy that I would have picked number one overall. I've said that many times over. I've said it for months. And I think this selection is indicative of why I liked him. He's so mellow. And he's right in New York. He's the starting quarterback. He just turned 21. And I haven't seen one bit of him being rattled. It doesn't mean he's going to go out here and tear the league apart in 2018. But his demeanor is perfect for this kind of stuff. And I appreciate the fact that he's starting on the road. But it goes back to why I like him in the first place. I don't think he's going to be bad. It doesn't mean I think the Jets are going to win and he's a star of the game, but I'm not worried about him doing it.
Yeah, and here's the thing I'll offer as a comparison. I love it too, okay? I was 2 years ago on the hashtag Suck for Sam, okay? I wanted them to get Sam Darnold. And here's the other piece of why. This guy breathes, drinks, sleeps football, okay? That's all this guy wants to do. By contrast, right, Baker Mayfield is posing for underwear ads with a tiger, and Sam Darnold, you talked about how young he is. He's the only kid that I know that's 21 years old. He does not have a social media profile, Blewett, okay? He is all about football compared to Baker, who's posing with tigers in his underwear.
It's funny, their star on the defensive side of the ball is the same way, too. It's sometimes you see how teams take on the personality of their coach, or they start to look for guys like that. Leonard Williams, really the best player on defense for the Jets. He's a guy who you and I had a chance to interview during the draft last year.
Yes.
Same thing, California kid. We asked him what he bought with his first check right out of the gate. He's like, I just bought a Jeep. It wasn't tricked out or anything. He's like, I'm from California. I just like to have a Jeep. And it was like, it's just such a sensible answer. He's not big on social media. He just kind of gets on with it. And I get the sense that Bowles is obviously like that. He could care less to ever give an interview. So I think the Jets are just the type of team that just wants to get on with it, and I think they're going to have a lot of football junkies. Almost everybody in the NFL is a football junkie. I'm talking about to a pretty extreme level where they don't really want to deal with any of the outside stuff. So that's Sammy D. So now we move on to, where do you want to go next? Let's just go with the Bills, because the Bills named Nate Peterman the starter over Josh Allen. I did think once McCarron was out, I sensed that it was going to be Peterman. George Kurtz, who did Fantasy Sports Today with me on Sunday, and I agreed that we thought it was going to be Peterman. This is before they announced it. The offensive line is in rough shape. I think it points to all signs negative about the Bills' offense in general this year. Clearly, Allen is the long-term asset. He got beat up in the last preseason game that he was out there, and I think the thought process is, let's bring him along slowly and maybe fix this line some before we throw him to the wolves. And Peterman is going to take the lumps.
Yeah, I completely agree. I said it last
time. Peterman played well, by the way. I don't want to dismiss that. So I think Peterman is the right move.
But I think, listen, we've said this before, Blewett, and I'm in lockstep with you on this one. We talked about, remember, Patrick Ramsey. We talked about David Carr as examples of quarterbacks who early on in their career completely got, you know, crushed, and what it does for their long-term psyche, their long-term ability to hang in the pocket, stand down the barrel, and make a throw. And let me tell you something, Mike, I look at the Bills' first three games, okay, on the road at Baltimore, Terrell Suggs coming off the edge, right? In Baltimore, that's going to be an environment that will be really, really tough. Remember, albeit what we've talked about, the Buffalo Bills with a bottom five offensive line. And then after that, Blewett, they play two teams that I literally believe have two of the four best pass rushes in the NFL. Okay, they are home for the Chargers in week two, Bosa and Ingram coming off the edge. And then week three, they are at Minnesota. Okay, Griffin and Hunter and that defense. So I really think if Josh Allen was in there the first few weeks of the season, he would get killed. His confidence would get eviscerated. And I think that is actually the leading rationale for Peterman. They're letting Peterman take the bumps and bruises, sending him to the wolves, because as you mentioned, Josh Allen is the long-term asset there, and they're not going to ruin him right away. It's almost similar, although a completely different circumstance. They're not going to rush Carson Wentz back because he is their answer for the next 10 years. The Bills think, although I disagree with them, that Josh Allen is their answer for the next 10 years. So why are they going to mortgage that by getting him killed early on behind that offensive line?
Yeah, that line has moved. So you're going to see a lot of movement in the week one lines just because they were released so long ago. So you don't normally see this kind of movement. The Baltimore line is now -7. It opened at -3. Obviously, things have happened with the Bills along the way, and there you go. But before we get to the other quarterback situation, we're going to get your season ticket to Fantasy Glory now with the 2018 Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. It's not just a draft kit, it's a full season package that takes you from draft day, which some of you may still haven't arrived at yet, to championship week. And it features in-depth analysis from some of your favorite fantasy sports radio experts. So go to rotoexperts.com, use code WINNER, W-I-N-N-E-R, to get 10% off on the exclusive Edge package and set aside a spot on the mantle for that 2018 championship trophy. So the final guy that we need to talk about is Nick Foles. Nobody's surprised. Doug Peterson was really irritated with everybody, but Carson Wentz isn't ready yet. Nick Foles comes in. And I guess I would just say, since we're going to talk about waivers a little bit later this hour as well, there are guys now in your Superflex and 2QB leagues when waivers are opening up, which many of you may have drafted weeks ago and you're just getting your first waiver run here today, tomorrow, there are guys that are valuable for the short term. You may not have drafted Darnold. Now you know he's a starter. I doubt anybody drafted Peterman except in deeper leagues, and now you know that he's an asset for until, frankly, he gets hurt because the offensive line isn't protecting him. Then you also have Foles now. And who's the fourth one? Bills, Jets, Eagles. So anyway, there you go. Ryan Fitzpatrick. So for some of you that may not have taken an angle on him, keep in mind he may be out there and is good for at least 3 weeks. There's talk that Jameis hasn't been guaranteed the week 4 start. I think that's a shot across the bow, trying to motivate him through the media, which I hate, but it is what it is. So Jameis hasn't been guaranteed the start. I think they want him to be a good citizen until he comes back, and they're likely to be 0-3 with the Bills with one of the toughest starts in the entire league for those first three games.
Yeah, the Bucs go to the Dome in New Orleans, and then the state of Pennsylvania comes calling. They get the Eagles and the Steelers. I think they're 0-3 for sure. We've talked about this, Blewett. I believe Dirk Cutter is a nice bet for the first coach to be fired. Real quick, though, you talked about Nick Foles. I've said it before, and I feel like I'm out there on a limb by myself, but it looks like the public is with me, although I always want to fade the public, so the public being with me hurts. I look at this line for the opener. Mike, and I've been saying that I kind of liked Atlanta in that opener. Now, I know the home team that's hanging the banner has all that enthusiasm, but these Philadelphia Eagles will be without their starting quarterback. Their starting running back, Jay Ajayi, while practicing, is banged up with a foot injury. Their number one wide receiver, we know, will not be playing in Alshon Jeffrey, okay? And there's been positive buzz around the Falcons. Matt Ryan developing in the Sarkisian system. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I liked Atlanta with the points. In this opener, and the line has moved. I saw it at +4. It is now down to +2.5. That is a point and a half of movement across a key number. For those of you who don't know, the numbers of 3 and 7 are those key numbers. I liked it when it was more than a field goal. I'm a little bit hedging now, but good thing I got it last week at +3.5. I still like the Falcons to hang with Philly in this opener, a depleted Eagles in the opener.
I also would have liked the field goal there too, but I'm not against your analysis at all.
It's down to 2.5 now, though.
I would have liked it when you had it at 3.5. I wouldn't want it. I wouldn't want it as much now.
Right. You need the hook. Yeah.
I'm a little concerned about the Eagles overall this year, and some people might think I'm crazy because they're getting a left tackle back, they're getting middle linebacker back, they'll ultimately have the quarterback, but so many things went into them winning last year that I find it hard, and you could argue that they could be better this year because of the overall health, but so many things went into them winning last year, I almost feel like they have to thread the needle to do it again. Now, they have a very talented combination of offensive linemen. They used 28 different offensive line combinations last year and still won. They have talented defensive line rotation, and there's talent everywhere else. But you got a young secondary. You got starting out the year with an injured quarterback. There's a few other things that I'm concerned about that, yeah, I do think they can win the division, but I will in no way be picking the Eagles to repeat as Super Bowl champs. I think they're amongst the best teams, but the NFC is charging hard, and it's going to be hard to get through that gauntlet again in the playoffs. To the victors go the spoils, but they were inches away from losing to Atlanta.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think they're still a very good team and a really good roster, okay? But I think they could take a step back, right? I think they could win the division and say 10-6, right? And that could win them the division, although maybe not give them a bye in the first round and then maybe lose in the playoffs to a New Orleans, to a Rams, to a team up north. And I think ultimately that is their faith.
Yeah, going on the road. You got a extremely fast Atlanta defense going up against Foles. I think that gives them an edge on Thursday night. We'll come back. Talk more about NFL news on Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
First day of school for a lot of kids out there.
Woo!
Across the country, I know many of you have been back to school for a couple of weeks, but in the New York area, day after Labor Day, school time. I got a son, turned 5. He's 5. It's his first day of kindergarten. It's a big day in our household.
Did you take like the picture? Do you take the picture of
them?
Like holding a sign, first day of kindergarten for every year as they get older?
They're actually probably doing it right now. He'll get walked to the bus in about a half an hour. He's nervous. His mom is a wreck. just super emotional, and I'm sure it'll be a nice little moment. But, you know, little kid's getting on the bus for the first time, he's going to be a little scared. So we'll take all those pictures and all that good stuff. So excited about it. And another thing to be excited about is Daily Roto. So DailyRoto.com is putting more than $25,000 on the line for its subscribers this NFL season and entering paid contests on FanDuel and bringing you along for the free roll. Have the chance to win big this year along SportsGrid CEO Jeremy Stein, one of the only men to have won two separate million-dollar prizes. Each week, we'll select lucky subscribers to sweat with us and split 50% of the profits. No profits that week, no worries. Your name's going to get tossed back into the hat. So head to DailyRoto.com/sweat and learn how to get in on the action and your share of $25,000 in action. That's DailyRoto.com/sweat, and we continue on with the show. So waiver wires, as I heard you discussing a little bit last hour with Scott, I think your ultimate point is that there are drafts that have happened sometime between the end of the Super Bowl and yesterday where waivers have not run yet. I know that it was in some drafts this week where guys like Adrian Peterson and Alfred Morris were drafted. But had that draft happened 3 weeks ago, both guys would have gone undrafted. Adrian Peterson was unemployed, and Alfred Morris was thought to be a guy that was a roster bubble. Yeah, a roster bubble situation in San Francisco. Now he's the starting running back, as is Adrian Peterson. So clearly those two names are going to be the most sought after during waiver runs. That's Alfred Morris and Adrian Peterson. I heard you talking about Jordan Wilkins as well. I protected Marlon Mack in one league. Starting to regret this decision because his hamstring injury is lingering for weeks and weeks. So Jordan Wilkins is a guy to focus on. But a couple of other names. And I'm just going based on a league that I had the other night. And Jordan Wilkins, by the way, I was just in a 10-teamer a couple of nights ago. He went undrafted. So he's going to be out there. But a couple of other names to take a look at are guys like the Green Bay running back situation. People haven't maybe touched Aaron Jones because of the suspension. Jamal Williams was certainly drafted in most leagues, although not confidently by anybody, including myself. But Ty Montgomery in some shallower leagues was kind of forgotten about, and he could be a guy, as you look through some of the numbers and guys that are available with some percentage on waiver wires, Ty Montgomery could actually be a guy that would be out there in some leagues.
Ty Montgomery could be out there in some leagues. He's a guy who intrigued me over the summer as well, Blewett, and here's why. Regardless of the role he might be in, remember, he's like a running back, wide receiver from Stanford, came into the league as a wide receiver. They decided to move him in Green Bay to a running back position, really, though, when they had an embarrassment of riches at the wide receiver position. Now, the jury is still out on if that is the case. They've invested in a lot of rookies. There was preseason standout Jake Kumerow as well, right? All the way to the point where now there's a lot of buzz about Randall Cobb and his future with the Green Bay Packers. But he's interesting to me for a number of reasons. What we talked about before, Mike, is if you take everything out of it, right? You take the names of the players out of it. I was saying, my point was, you know, the PPR change of pace, third down, two-minute drill, pass catching back for Green Bay is better than that role in a lot of other teams because you have Aaron Rodgers there in that offense. And Ty Montgomery was never really in this role with a healthy Aaron Rodgers last year. So I am very intrigued about that. And then there's also, listen, there's a universe where Randall Cobb is banged up. These rookies don't really show up. And then you're talking about Devontae Adams, you're talking about Geronimo Allison, and maybe Ty Montgomery as, you know, viable in the passing game from the receiver position as well. I like the Swiss Army knife that is Ty Montgomery, especially because, listen, I'm taking the pass catching back in Green Bay. I think people forget with the recency bias how effective that offense can be. I want a piece of it. Ty Montgomery is a nice name.
And so some of you are out there saying, what kind of league are you in that Ty Montgomery wasn't drafted? I'm telling you, I'm looking at numbers across sites. So these ownership rates are 40% or worse on some of the major sites. So Ty Montgomery is the name that could be out there. By the way, as a side note to the news, the Broncos listed Royce Freeman as the running back atop their depth chart, which was anticipated. But as we're talking about waiver pickups, and maybe we switch over to a deeper league, who is a guy that you need to back up with the rookie Royce Freeman? Because we spend a lot of time talking about handcuffs for guys like Le'Veon Bell and maybe even Todd Gurley. We should talk about it in terms of the rookies here. So who is the guy that you would want to have if you got Royce Freeman? Do you need to throw D'Angelo Henderson on the back of your roster?
No, it's Devontae Booker to me.
Devontae Booker, that's what I meant. Sorry.
I think definitely it's Devontae Booker. And to be quite honest, I think it's I don't think it's a handcuff situation. I think it's a legit timeshare. Okay. Yeah. And Royce Freeman is gonna be this kind of earlier down guy. I think Devontae Booker is gonna play that PPR change of back. You know, if Denver is down in the second half, if there's 2 minutes and 33 seconds left at the start of one of their drives, I think it's going to be more Devontae Booker. I like Royce Freeman a lot. I watched him a little bit in Oregon. He was a guy right after the draft I was high on, and then the industry got there as well. But Devontae Booker, I think, needs to be owned. One name that I want to ask you about, though, we talked about it a little bit last hour, is how are you, because I know you're a Steelers fan, Mike, how worried are you about Le'Veon Bell or if he walks into the facility today or tomorrow? Are you riding him out week one? Do you need to have James Conner? Do you pick up James Conner and just try to flip him to the Le'Veon Bell owner? Like, what are you doing with Lev Bell, James Conner, and waivers?
Yeah, that's where I was going to go next. Player that I own more than any other, I have seven teams this year, the player that I own more than any other is James Conner. I always felt like late in drafts he was going to be a value. I understand he may not be. As a Steelers fan, I hope he's useless. But I don't think he's going to be useless. I don't see Le'Veon Bell playing 16 games necessarily. He's not always good to play 16 games. He gets a little banged up. They also gave him the ball 400 times last year. I think they'll try to do that again. So, given that usage
rate, use him up.
There's a chance.
Him up before he's not on the Steelers next year.
There's a greater chance of injury. I don't like to predict injuries or get into any of that kind of stuff. I'm just telling you, Le'Veon's gotten hurt a whole bunch in years past. So, given the fact that there was a holdout, combined with the fact that he has gotten some injuries in the past, combined with the fact that, let's just say, things go south for the Steelers. Maybe Ben gets hurt, and then Josh Dobbs is in there, or Mason Rudolph, and they're just taking a beating. And the wheels come off the wagon a little bit for the Steelers. Yeah. They typically don't come all the way off. They're not the type of team that craters to a 5-11 scenario, but maybe their expected 11 or 12 wins goes down to 8 or 9, and they're fighting for a playoff spot or missing it. I can envision a scenario where Le'Veon Bell is like, I'm not putting my rest of my career on the line for this non-Super Bowl winning team. So I don't want to put – I'm not – look, this is speculation. I understand that. But I'm just trying to look at a scenario where that could happen. He's obviously in the mix to earn about $1 million a game. So I don't expect – I expect him to be in the Steelers facility sometime in the next 48 hours. But – we'll see how that plays out. I do think James Conner is absolutely worth a pickup. And in the one league where I drafted the other night, I put in a waiver for him because I didn't realize nobody had drafted him. It's just that on that team, it's a little risky for me because I'm already rolling with Edelman and Ingram and Carson Wentz. So my bench is filled with guys that can't play right now. And for Conner to not play would be tough for that team. But so there you go on James Conner. Now, another name I would throw out there, and it's available in this league that I'm talking about, is Chris Godwin. He is not heavily owned in a lot of leagues. I think in expert leagues, people were really targeting Godwin as a guy that could overtake DeSean Jackson for the number two pass target in that offense at some point during the year. So I think Chris Godwin is kind of an interesting name out there, and certainly – I'm telling you, in expert leagues, people were targeting him at a good value because there's a path for him to be that number two guy.
Yeah, we've been talking about this. I like Godwin a lot. I think they've already said DeSean Jackson may move to the slot. And we already like the game flow potential for the Tampa Bay Bucks. We think they'll be throwing in the second half of a lot of games. And listen, I may care about game flow a little bit more than most, but we both agree that Tampa Bay is going to be one of the worst teams there. We know that they'll be chucking it. And with all the attention there to Mike Evans, I think it's going to be Godwin that's that kind of chain mover there for Tampa Bay. So I wanted to throw out, though, Mike, one more running back that I think is interesting. I just checked his ownership percentage, and it is under 50%, at least in like kind of Yahoo leagues, which may be more kind of a not the expert, shall we say, but
it's
less than
50%
owned.
We got all kinds of people listening.
Yeah, absolutely. Less than 50% owned. And I know it's like a fool's errand to try to get in the mind of Bill Belichick, but Blewett, James White. James White is only 47% owned right now. And the reason I like him, okay, is he's the pass-catching option out of the backfield for Tom Brady. So you got to like that, especially early in the season when Julian Edelman is still on suspension. But we talk about it, and you and I know this, Rex Burkhead dealing with a slight tear in his knee. Sony Michel, who you and I both have shares of together, Blewett, you know, kind of they say he's on his way back, but he may be a week two, week three kind of thing before he's kind of like fully up to speed. I think for this week and moving forward in PPR leagues, James White is someone you really have to keep an eye on as that, you know, we know Tom Brady throws it to these backs out of the backfield. That's going to be all James White, in my opinion. And I like him, especially in the first couple of weeks of the season.
Yeah, look, it's always a good idea to have a piece of the Patriots offense, right? The problem with White is it's extremely difficult to predict what weeks those are going to be. As you look through his weeks last year, he saw 10 carries one time for 38 yards. He never had a rushing game in 14 games last year. He never had a rushing game that was fantasy relevant. It obviously is in the pass game. And he had two last year. One at New Orleans, 8 catches for 85 yards. One versus Carolina, 10 catches for 47 yards, a putrid average, but in a PPR league, you just racked
that's
up
awesome in a PPR
you
know, league,
almost
yeah.
15 points. So he had a 7 for 57, a 5 for 85. He did score touchdowns in three different games, but his usage total in those games is very low. So we're talking about predicting touchdowns there. So ultimately he had, though, six games, one, two, three, four. Yeah, I'd call it six games where he was pretty useful. It's just it's very difficult to guess that. So you'll have to understand that if and when you roster James White, it's a little bit of a guessing game. But I'd say in all of our
I lean towards
game,
making that guess, though, Mike, with no Edelman there and Burkhead and Michelle still kind of on the comeback with their knee struggles. You're right,
absolutely.
It is a guessing game. I'm guessing week one.
Yeah, it could absolutely happen this week. I love Gronk early this season, but James White could be a guy there that sees some, you know, they use him close to the goal line, too, on some plays. Obviously, he scored a Super Bowl-winning touchdown in that scenario. So, yeah, certainly a guy to throw out there. Back to the wide receiver thing, Cam Meredith is available still in a lot of leagues. He's a guy that I expressed concern about all throughout the preseason. Why would the Bears go out and pick up a guy like Allen Robinson, pay him $80 million coming off a torn ACL when they had a guy in the building who was already productive for them? It gave me pause to look at Cam Meredith as an option. When I thought a few months ago this guy could be a real sneaky option, the more I thought about it, the more I was scared away from it. I'll admit, I didn't draft him one time. They have Michael Thomas there. They have Alvin Kamara there. Ted Ginn has had a good camp. But Cam Meredith could be absolutely a sleeper waiver wire pickup. He's effectively free now. Yeah, you'll have to put in some fab budget, but if you just had your draft recently, he's not going to be expensive, and he could be a guy that's pretty interesting, even though I have some serious concerns about him. The good news is he got some extended run in the preseason in the finale. He caught two passes for 72 yards and a score. So he's slowly working his way back off of a really significant ACL tear and I think a broken leg.
Yeah, so here's my thing with Cam Meredith. I'm going to be higher on him than you, Blewett, and here's why. And you got to take a step back first. We're talking about waiver wire pickups, right? These are the people who are ultimately going to be what? Your wide receiver five? Your wide receiver six on the bottom of your roster anyway? And when you look at wide receiver, I think like because we are in this passing league and everyone's putting the ball up 40, 50 times and stuff like that, I think there's now more wide receivers who can return that, you know, 4 for 42 kind of effort, right? That kind of replacement level wide receiver. So I think that I can go out and get someone on the waiver wire who's just going to be kind of a replacement guy. So that being said, if I'm going here for waivers, I'm looking for someone with the potential or the upside to be someone that I'm starting, to be a flex play if things go right. You know what I'm saying? So that being said, I'd rather take a chance that things do go right, that he is healthy, that the Saints invested in this for a smart reason, that he holds off the rookie Tre'Quan Smith and others, and that there's a chance that I now have the number two wideout for the Drew Brees-led Saints offense. So I like that, and I'm going to be higher on that even than some of these Jacksonville wide receivers, Mike, because the risk, you know, the boom bust, that's what I'm playing here with these waivers.
Yeah, last guy, Anthony Miller, wide receiver of the Bears. He's a second-round pick out of Memphis. He caught 191 passes in his last 2 years in Memphis, so very productive. He's getting the start alongside Allen Robinson. So pretty interesting development there. I do think there's a lot to go around there between Jordan Howard, Tariq Cohen, Allen Robinson, Trey Burton, and a rookie wide receiver, but the guy has earned the start over some veterans like Taylor Gabriel and more. So I have to give him credit for earning that start, and maybe he can be on the same page with Trubisky early in the season.
Yeah, I mean, I like the skill set of Anthony Miller, but we've talked about this before with the rookie wide receivers. I want to see it before I believe in it. And to your point, Mike, there's now a lot of mouths to feed in Chicago. So it's the kind of thing like I want to see it before I believe it as it relates to Anthony Miller in dynasties and rookies. I do love the skill set, though.
Yeah, John Brown from the Ravens, Mike Wallace from the Eagles, John Ross from the Bengals, even Quincy Enunwa and Rashard Matthews, Latavius Murray are some other names out there. Latavius Murray hype is cooled for me and you, I think, Dane, because Dalvin Cook looks to be good to go. But could see some touches, just not a guy. It's going to be a tough guy to get in your lineup unless you're in a really deep league. So come back. We'll talk about some over-unders. We'll talk about some lines for the games this week. It's Mike and Dane on FST. Join us after the break.
Marcus Cato is a baseball-loving 20-year-old Californian. In May, he was diagnosed with acute myeloid leukemia. Marcus now needs a bone marrow transplant from an unrelated donor to survive. The National Bone Marrow Registry is made up of only 7% African Americans, which means Marcus, who is biracial, faces a unique challenge to find a match. Text INVOLVE to 50555 to join DKMS in the fight to help Marcus and others get a second chance at life.
Welcome to week one of the NFL season. It's Mike and Dane. You'll hear us here every morning. It is a sweet emotion, Chris Bavona producing, as Dane calls, the pit of misery. I'd like to upgrade the name
Dilly
for the
Dilly
producers, because it's, I mean, it's not the nicest production studio I've ever been in, but calling it the pit of misery feels like it
was coming
in a negative
Mike, it was coming
of
off the ad last year with the Dilly Dilly, the Bud Light
it.
Ones, how they were locked in the pit of misery. So, you know, Bavona always felt like he was locked down there, so we were going live to the pit of misery.
I'm saying I would like to propose, perhaps, maybe it's a poll. Maybe we come up with a new name for 2018. I would like to put them in a positive frame of mind. As miserable as it may be to some, I just want to get them started. Maybe start off week one, and we'll figure it out. We'll brainstorm tonight, and we'll come up with a new name for the production studio tomorrow.
Listen, the producers should be happy, because in our Carton and Friends League, the producer team of Bones and Bavona, I think they drafted Matt Breida towards the end, and now they're sitting there with an improved running back situation because of that.
Yeah, they're in good shape with that. So McKinnon obviously getting injured, and Alfred Morris, we talked about him, and Matt Breida is a guy who Matt Breida may be a guy who is out there on some waiver wires. I don't think his ownership is as low as some of the other guys we just spoke about. But, right. you know, if you're in a 10-team home league, it's possible Matt Breida snuck by some people. And he's somebody to consider. He'll be in the Tevin Coleman role in that offense, most likely Alfred Morris, picking up a lot of the carries in that offense as well. So for those of you that want to hit us up on social media, I forgot to mention this earlier, but please do so every day. At FNTSY Radio, I'm at Mike Blewett. Dane is at Spittin' Speeds, S-P-E-E-D-Z. So there you go. So where do we want to go? We want to go with some lines here. We'll take an early look at a couple of these, and we'll take a look at some over-unders as well. So DFS stuff, we'll do that tomorrow and into Thursday. I think Thursday is always going to be a good day for your survivor pool picks, your DFS plays, your start and sit scenarios, because you obviously got to put in your lineups before Thursday. We can always make adjustments to the start and sit on Fridays, but we want to make sure that we lock in at least your Thursday starters on that day. So we talked about Atlanta, Philly. Honestly, I'm with you. I would go with Atlanta in this one. I hate the fact that they're not getting the field goal anymore,
right.
but I would go with Atlanta in this one. And as far as regular season wins, Atlanta, by the way, my over-under competition starts tomorrow. So we're going to do a little bit on it now, and we'll do a little bit on it tomorrow. My over-under competition starts at 10 a.m. tomorrow, so I'll be off the show, and I have the first pick. It's a snake draft, four guys. We pick four teams. We might actually be
under Miami, under Tampa.
Yeah. Yeah, but I have the first pick, so I really need to nail it. And I use some sources, too. I don't just go off my gut, and Tampa is a good one. But let's just start with the two teams that are playing tomorrow, and that's Atlanta over 9 on the season. It's minus 160 on the over. I have said all along I really like Atlanta. I actually think Atlanta is going to win the division in this in this division. I do think the NFC South will beat each other up. Carolina, I'm less confident in Carolina than I am in the Saints and the Falcons. But with these teams playing each other, it's not a wide gap. And all it takes is a couple of divisional games to swing the other way. And Carolina could even win the division. I could see they had three teams last year that won double-digit wins. I could see that happening again. But I'm going with Atlanta over because I like them to win the division. And it would have to be at least 10 games.
I'm with you, Blewett. I'm with you. We do our divisions with Scotty last hour right now, and I've been evolving. I got to tell you, I've been flip-flopping. I had Carolina at one point. I had the Saints at one point. I am, however, settling in on the Atlanta Falcons as well. I see them as a 10-6 team. I think Matt Ryan, people forget, it's the recency bias, right? And Matt Ryan had, I guess, a little bit of a down season that first year with Steve Sarkisian. He is back. I like the development of that defense. You mentioned about their speed on defense. And I like Atlanta to win that division as well at 10-6. I'm taking the over there. Here's my question, though, to your point, Blewett, and I know you're doing over-unders with your competition, but to your point about those teams beating each other up, Atlanta is the second choice to win the NFC South. The Saints are the favorite at plus 130. Then the Falcons are at plus 150. I wonder, I mean, not outside of your over-under competition, I wonder if the Falcons to win the division is a better bet, because I see a universe there. You said all three of those teams had double digits. I see a universe where they beat each other up and Atlanta could win that division at 9-7. You're getting plus 150 on the division, but I do like Atlanta. I like them on Thursday, and I like them to win the NFC South.
And, you know, what you said could happen. And we have to be fair when we talk about how tough other teams' schedules are. We tend to only throw that on the teams that we think are going to have a tough year. We don't always apply it to teams that we think could have good seasons. But since I think Atlanta is a good team, I think they can come out of this opening five-game stretch at least 3-2, and it is tough. They start in Philly, which is always tough. That first game, these teams, despite the Chiefs winning last year, historically over the last 15 years, I think those teams are, I think that road team or the non-championship team is like 2-13, something like that. I don't know what they are against the spreads. I'll have to check it. So
but they're not usually facing a backup quarterback.
That's true, too. And an injured running back and an injured wide receiver to start. But they're at Philly. The good news about this next three-game stretch is that they're all at home. So they're going to be home throughout the rest of September. By from Friday night, after they play the Eagles Thursday night after they play the Eagles to get home late in the morning. They'll be home until October 7th. They do
Another
not go on the road again. That's right. So it's Carolina, New Orleans, Cincinnati. I think they're better than two of those teams. I think they can win all three. In fact, I think they're better than all three of those teams. I'm going to have Atlanta, most likely, Dane, and I'm still working through this. I'll do all the predictions tomorrow. I think Atlanta is going to be my NFC representative for the Super Bowl. So
really?
I do think they have a chance. Yeah, I do. I think they have a chance here. Let's just call them 3-1 in that first month. Then they go back to Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. 3-2, though, in that gauntlet, you'd be okay with that.
That's fine. Two home games they win right after that, in my opinion. Home for Tampa, home for the Giants.
Giants, then a
that
bye.
That puts them at 5-2 going to the bye.
That's right. Then they're stacked with road games in the back half.
But two road games they could win
great, coming
out of it.
Yes. At Washington, at Cleveland, then hosting Dallas, then at New Orleans, then hosting Baltimore, then at Green Bay. This is a little tough. Nice. Then hosting Arizona, and then they finish on the road at Carolina and at Tampa.
I was doing it just like knee-jerk reactions, and I have them at 11-5.
So there you go. I think you have a lot of confidence in them, too. So I'll be on the over with Atlanta, and I'll let you know. I will update my over-under competition all throughout the year. I think it's a fun thing for you to listen to. I think it's a fun thing to do with your friends. I put a little bit of cash on the line with my buddies. These are high school friends. I've known them for nearly 30 years. I do think it's a really fun thing to do. Those guys also do it with Major League Baseball. I don't partake in that one, but in any event, I think it's a fun thing to do. And you know what? I haven't won it yet.
Well, you're going to win it this year.
I've tied for first place a couple of times, and I lose on the tiebreaker. But in any event, last year, all four of us missed our first round pick. It was
Jets under.
Jets under. Lions under.
Four and a half, was it? Yeah.
I lost on the Seahawks over, and I can't remember the other one, but we all missed our first round pick. The Eagles pick, which for over under picks was a huge, huge boon. What'd they go? 13-3 last year. And
they were over. I know that.
Their over under though was like 7.5. They blew it out by like 5-6 points. So Eagles are 10 this year, right on the number. There's not heavy juice either way. I think people think this will be a good team, but 10 means they have to get to 11, and that worries me. So what do you think on the Eagles with the 10?
Yeah, I'm with you here, Blewett. I think we said it before. I like the Eagles. They are a good team. They have a very high-quality roster at almost every single position, okay? So I hope everyone hears that first. However, I believe the Eagles take a little bit of a step back. Like you said, they go 12 or 13 wins last year? There's a little bit of that Super Bowl hangover. They're starting without their starting quarterback, although I know Nick Foles is, you know, kind of ready to go there. I think the Eagles can take a step back, still win the NFC East. I think that number is perfect at 10. If you put a gun to my head right now and said, what will the Eagles' record be? I say 10-6. I think the problem comes when they have that gauntlet in the playoffs through the NFC with teams like the teams in the South that you mentioned, Atlanta, probably New Orleans, or even Carolina, when they have to face a Minnesota or a Green Bay or the Rams or something like that. I think, unlike last year, I think that in middle of January, they will be on the road this year, and that will ultimately spell their demise. So as it relates to their season win total, this is a stay away from me because I think there's better values, so I would stay away. So in your contest, Mike, let's say, it would not be one of my early round picks, but gun to my head, I'd actually, I hate to say it, but I take the under because I fear some of these injury concerns for the Eagles.
If they're going to be over 10, they have to win on Thursday night.
Sure, I agree. And I don't think that's going to happen. So that's why they're a pass for me.
So some of the other bets and that have a lot of juice on it is the Cardinals over 5.5. Yep. The Panthers under looks like it's getting hammered now. They're -190.
I think Indy and Cincy also.
Bills under 6, -190. Not a vote of confidence for Nate Peterman. Bengals over -190. I'm looking at the more expensive ones. Yeah. Bengals over. Yeah. I'm starting to
some
like
people
it
like
too,
the,
by the way.
Yep, me too.
The Colts,
and I think the Colts are
over
another one.
6.5. Colts over 6.5. It's tough to bet on what you think is going to be a bad team to be over, especially in a division that's getting tougher. But I got to be honest, I could see the Colts winning 7. I could.
But I got a bet with Scott Engel.
Go ahead.
I have the regular season win total combined Colts and Titans. He has Texans and Jaguars. But get this, Blewett. He's giving me 10 wins.
Oh, I love it.
I have Colts and Titans plus 10 wins against his Jaguars and Texans.
That's a really, really bad bet by Scott.
Well, you know.
I mean,
he's the king in fantasy.
Right. Even if he was quote-unquote right, he wouldn't miss it with a 10 win. He'll miss it with a 10-win cushion.
Right. He thinks the Colts win in 4 games.
So those are the expensive bets. The Rams over 9.5 is -180 as well. So I'll give you my first pick on air tomorrow. I'll know what it is by 9 o'clock. So it's Garten and Friends next. You'll listen to us here tomorrow on Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's Mike and Dane. Have a good day.